Why Evangelicals Don't Like Mormons. That's the title of an article written by David S. Reynolds. Let's be clear. I would consider myself a fundamentalist. I would consider myself evangelical. And I would not say that I don't like Mormons. That would be a mischaracterization of my thoughts. I would further want to clarify this. According to a CNN exit poll of South Carolina Republicans' primary voters, Newt Gingrich, a thrice-married Catholic, won twice as much support from evangelical Protestants as Mitt Romney, a Protestant. And among voters for whom religion meant a great deal, 46% voted for Mr. Gingrich and only 10% for Mr. Romney. This is the second evangelical heavy state Mr. Romney has lost, with a third Florida next on the list. It's important to consider the often antagonistic skepticism that many evangelicals have of Mr. Romney's brand of Protestantism, Mormonism. All right, let's be clear. It is not a brand of Protestantism. The orthodox doctrine of Protestantism is that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is not a created being. For many evangelicals, that faith, a false religion, as the Baptist pastor Robert Jeffress called it, raises serious doubts about Mr. Romney's suitability for office. But such concerns ultimately say more about the insecurities of the establishment denominations than about Mormonism itself. Perhaps what is really being expressed is our loyalty to Jesus Christ. Many evangelicals assert that Mormonism denies the divinity of Christ, and is therefore not a branch of Christianity. If you don't assert that, you're not an evangelical. So when the author says many evangelicals, it would be better to say evangelicals assert that Mormonism denies the divinity of Christ and is therefore not a branch of Christianity. Because if you do not deny that Mormonism is not a branch of Christianity, you are not an evangelical. A tenet of evangelicalism is an absolute adherence to the deity of Jesus Christ. The Mormon belief is that Jesus Christ was the firstborn child of God and a woman, and that humans can aspire to share his spiritual essence in the afterlife. And this is precisely why evangelicals are concerned about Mormonism. Let's be sure what the central issue is here for those that maybe aren't firm or maybe that are wavering on this issue and you need a little bit more to cement you in. The Gospel of John, the fourth gospel, the first verse of the first chapter says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word, the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, if we are in doubt as to whether Jesus Christ is a created being or not, let's run back up to verse number 3, where the Word of God says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." It doesn't get any clearer than that. All means all. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And without him was not anything made that was made. As though all things were made by him is not enough, the author continues conjunction, and without the Logos, without Christ, was not anything made that was made. And so when Mormons assert that Christ is a created being, they are denying the inerrancy of the Word of God. And if the Word of God is not without error, if the Word of God is not without error, why read it? But the Mormon belief is that Jesus was the firstborn child of God and a woman, and that humans can aspire to share his spiritual essence in the afterlife. That is an unorthodox view of man's future glorification. That is an unbiblical view of man's future glorification. Let me be even clearer. That is a heretical view of man's future glorified existence in heaven. What's more, if a belief in Christ's divinity were used as a test of our politicians, many past American leaders would fail abysmally. Most of the founding fathers, including Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Paine, endorsed deism, which sees Jesus as a very good human being, not part of the Godhead. It's really unfortunate C.S. Lewis was not alive in Benjamin Franklin's day. Perhaps C.S. Lewis's sharp reasoning skills could have penetrated Benjamin Franklin's reasoning concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, because Lewis got it right when he said either Jesus is a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. Lewis got it right. The fact that Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Paine did not endorse the deity of Christ, which again is in question, I would argue to you that George Washington did have a faith in Christ as the Son of God. I would not argue about Thomas Jefferson, would not argue about Benjamin Franklin, and I'm too ignorant concerning Thomas Paine to be able to speak intelligently on that issue. But I would suggest to you that George Washington was, in fact, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ as the second person of the Trinity. It was precisely the founders' religious tolerance that over the years has given rise to many new denominations and sects, particularly during the so-called Second Great Awakening, the 19th century period of religious revivals that energized existing churches, including the Baptist and Methodist churches, bulwarks of today's Bible Belt, and yielded new ones, including the Mormons. Let's be clear. Let's be absolutely, positively clear. When Roger Williams started the First Baptist Church in Providence, Rhode Island, he was not accused of being a cult leader. There is a reason why Joseph Smith left New York, went down to Missouri, went halfway across the United States, and was constantly pushed out. His unorthodox views of who Jesus Christ was were not received well among the citizens of New York, the Deep South, the Midwest, and it took a place way out in the middle of nowhere for him to be accepted, or his brand, if I may, of Christianity, using the author's words, to be accepted. Smith wasn't alone. Many religious groups sprouted during the period. Like Mormonism, some were founded by people considered divinely inspired by their followers. Ellen G. White by the Seventh-day Adventist, Mary Baker Eddy by the Christian Scientists, while others like Charles Taze Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses were admired for their charisma. The fact of the matter is, we've got problems. Orthodox Christians, evangelical Christians, fundamental Christians have problems with White, Eddy, and Russell. And so there's no issue with what the author's saying here. All these are cults. There's plenty about these and other surviving Protestant groups that's out of sync with mainstream religion. Stop calling them Protestant groups. The author is showing his ignorance. Protestant groups have a similar adherence to the Orthodox belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of the living God, God, the Creator God, the second person of the Trinity. All this doesn't mean that Romney can't do a good job as president. Perhaps he can. That remains yet to be seen. Can an atheist do a good job as president? Perhaps. Would I vote for one? Probably not. And isn't that my constitutional right to choose who I vote for? Why does this author have such a problem with the fact that evangelicals are striving to be loyal to their faith in Christ? The issue becomes the extra effort being made by the father of lies to normalize Mormonism, because faith in the God of Mormonism results in hell. That's right. Faith in the God of Mormonism results in hell. See, it's real clear. Either Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by him, or he's a liar. You cannot invent a new Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:50, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Either Jesus was lying when he said, I and the Father are one, or he's the second person of the Trinity. It can't be both ways, Mr. Mormon. It can't be both ways. And so evangelicals that are frustrated and struggling with this and are choosing to vote for a Catholic instead of a Mormon, at least recognize the fact that the Catholic Church has an Orthodox view as to the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, I pray that this has been helpful for you as we've taken a look at this article written by David S. Reynolds, a professor of American Studies and English at the Graduate Center of the City of the University of New York. But he doesn't speak as an expert on evangelicalism or fundamentalism. He speaks as a university professor who has part of his facts right. Have a great day.